There is definitely a lot of anger. But there are also people who are using this as a time of exploration. Steve Call is going where no stimulus has gone before. Those words come from his blog on the entire 407 pages of the stimulus. Previously, he reported on the secret history of the CIA and the legacy of the bin Ladens, but this time, regarding the stimulus, he's been blogging as he goes in what reads like a combination of explanatory journalism and travelogue. Steve Call is president of the New America Foundation, a staff writer for The New Yorker. He's come up for air this morning to give us the lowdown on his journey through this colossal document.
Is it a five-year mission?
What do you think?
It could be.
What do you think, Steve? A five-year mission? Will America be back on its feet by the time you finish?
I'm afraid that it might be well recovered. I did this sort of spontaneously, looking at the bill, thinking that it was 407 pages. How long could it take to really read and digest it and write something useful about it? And it's quite dense, page to page. There's a lot of information and mystery on each page, so I found that the going so far has been slow. I'm hoping to hit large patches of legalese that'll speed me along, and occasionally I do.
It, you know, you have had little helper elves who write you, whether it's people who write and respond to your blog or people. Didn't someone turn you on to one of the conference documents that gave you a decoder ring to the budget?
Yeah, I was sort of early on trying to figure out how much outside help to solicit, but I put my email address in there and asked for qualified inside advice, and I have gotten helpful advice of that kind, some of it sort of offline and quiet tipping and some more public commentary. But one of the early writers explained that I could solve some of the mysteries that were befuddling me by turning to the document that the negotiators produced from the reconciliation conference between the House and the Senate. They basically write cheat sheet notes, crib notes on the side of the bill that are intended to give guidance to the bureaucracy and to courts if the bill is challenged. So I've been making use of that, and I get other tips of a similar quality from time to time.
All right. I want to go into a specific now. The reality is that there's so many different things here, but one that I was intrigued by that you've blogged about is the census. Are politics really going to take the center in the fight over this billion-dollar plan to add new census takers?
Well, it's a great subject, and because what it shows you is that if you basically take the government as it is and you inject a lot of new money into a particular area, you can create the perception that you're doing this to make a better government, or you can create the perception that you have a political agenda. And that's what happened with the census, which, of course, is coming up in 2010. And one of the big issues that is not necessarily political, you could say it's scientific, that's been surrounding the census the last time, two or three times through, is that under our Constitution, census takers, in order to count the people properly, in order to allocate power in our political system, they have to physically count people. They can't just estimate how many people there might be. And it turns out that poor people and minorities generally are harder to count because they are sort of off the grid. They may not have fixed addresses. They may not be responsive to people with clipboards. They may be suspicious of the system. So there's been a lot of effort to figure out how to properly count them so that they are enfranchised as they should be. And the Democratic-controlled Congress sees pumping a lot of money into the census as a way to do the right thing almost scientifically, whereas the Republican Party sees it as a political project to effectively overcount Democratic-leaning votes.
You know, you've spent a lot of time looking into the inner workings of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Steve. I'm wondering, as you look at this bill here and this stimulus package and all of the arms of government that are going to be spending this money on every level, is it a visionary document that takes us in a new direction, or does it basically give money for a lot of stuff that reinforces the status quo?
It does both things, and it would be very interesting. I'm hoping maybe by the time I get to the end to try to do some math and at least approximate for my own sort of analysis how much is transformational and how much is same old on steroids, which itself is stimulative in a technical economic sense, but maybe not your, you know, the sort of the ideal way to spend the money. The transformational investments include some big investments in a new energy grid that will promote renewables, include what the president has called down payments on the new technology that's required to fix our healthcare system, increase access and reduce costs, and in the education sector as well. But there's quite a lot of, you know, sort of existing programs that are just given a very large additional dollop of money without any particular idea that this is going to change the kind of country we live in after the stimulus is gone.
Well, we are all looking ahead to see what kind of country we end up in, but few of us have the stick-to-itiveness that you have about blogging the entire plan. Steve Call, president of the New America Foundation, staff writer for The New Yorker, thank you so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.